Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by the Community State Bank in Peyton. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today from the Green County Conservation Department is our director, Dan Towers, joining us once again. So thank you very much, Dan, for being on.
Good morning, Coltrane. It's good to be here.
You bet. Well, Dan, we haven't had you on for a few months here, but we have you on again as we creep into Memorial Day. And boy, you've had kind of a busy spring with a little bit of an issue on the Raccoon River Valley Trail with kind of a bridge that collapsed on you. Can you give us an update about how that particular issue is coming along?
Right, Coltrane. And a lot of people are aware of it. It's been in the news. We've gone through the FEMA steps to apply for federal FEMA dollars for the repair of it. It's a long process. It includes many steps that we've gone two or three already. We have a site meeting with the FEMA team coming up next week, and we're just working our way through that whole process. Not only does the construction repair itself take time, but just to get to that point takes quite a little time with any federal project. So I'm really not foreseeing anything happening this year. Hopefully once we get into the winter and maybe by next season, possibly. But it's a guess at best to say when we would see that completed.
Some people maybe don't understand what's happened. Where is this bridge located and about how much of the bridge has been taken out?
It's the bridge over the North Raccoon River, about 2 miles south of town. The bridge itself is 600 foot long, and this was a 70 foot segment almost in the very middle of the bridge. Once the river is at a normal flow, it's not over the water. It's actually over a sandbar and part of the bank. So at least we don't have to divert the course of the river to do the repair work. It is on dry land, but it's just a section right in the very middle of the bridge.
This does impact the trail itself and kind of impacts how people can utilize the trail. So can you give us, you know, if people want to utilize the trail coming from Jefferson down the trail or people coming up to Jefferson, how can they get around that obstacle?
Well, there's two options. And most people that aren't trail users anymore have road bikes with the skinny tires, and gravel really isn't an option. So the two options would be when you get to Cooper, go either east to the Squirrel Hollow pavement using county roads, county pavements to get to Jefferson. That's about 13 miles. Or go west to Highway 4 and come into Jefferson on Highway 4, which is about 8 miles. We aren't specifically designating either one of those, but we're just giving people that call in wondering what's going on those two options as the best routes to get into Jefferson.
And how does this kind of impact us already? I mean, I know we're one of the spokes off of the Raccoon River Valley Trail, which kind of puts us in a kind of a challenging point anyway to get tourism to come off that loop and up here to Jefferson. But this also adds a kind of an extra kind of barrier, if you will, to that.
Right. It's probably going to affect the individual riders that are just out for a ride. The organized rides, we're still seeing that happen. Market to Market, which is a running race, Market to Market Relay, they still utilize the trail and just detour it around on Highway 4, and it worked well. There's a Tour of the Raccoon, the Des Moines Cycle Club, probably 100 members, they ride up the first weekend in June. They're still planning on coming and going either way around on the pavement. So the organized rides still seem to be, they like Jefferson as a destination. They still seem to be coming, but I'm sure it's going to impact some of the individual riders that it's just easier to turn around at Cooper and go back.
Now, the biggest question of all, hopefully it's not a $1 million question, but what's the estimated cost, in your opinion, on making that repair?
The engineering firm came up with their design and estimates of $250,000, but that didn't include several things that are required along with it. When we kind of make a guesstimate at that, we're thinking it will be in the $350,000 to $400,000 range for the total project.
All right, now let's switch and talk a little bit about other things that are going on in your department. I mean, I'm sure that's taking a lot of your time away, but there are other things going on in conservation, I'm sure. Can you explain any other new projects that might be coming on the horizon this summer yet?
We keep trying to add improvements to Spring Lake. We're adding another pit latrine, a concrete precast pit latrine like we added last year. We have four of those at Spring Lake. This one will be near the lakeside shelter, easy to clean, better ventilation, just a better system. And it also serves as a storm shelter. It's a precast, comes all as one unit with a concrete roof too, and it's very solid. So it'll be an improvement in our latrine facility plus a storm shelter.
And this will be the second one that you've replaced now?
Yeah, we did one last year. Both of these we got Community Foundation grant funds to help with. So this will be the second one that we'll have replaced.
Any other projects that people should be aware of?
Along with the bridge, that flood that caused the bridge, it did cause a couple other things. Two of our seven boat ramps, concrete boat ramps in the in the county on the Raccoon River were damaged. The one at McMahon Access, which is halfway between Scranton and Jefferson, it received quite a bit of damage and really isn't usable right now. Another one had minor damage that you can still put kayaks and canoes in with, but those two projects will both probably be included on the FEMA repair.
And so speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about boat safety as people are gearing up for the opening unofficial weekend of summer, depending on how weather goes, I guess. But let's talk a little bit about boat safety, both at Spring Lake and along the Raccoon River. Kind of give us some safety reminders there.
Okay. Probably the biggest thing to keep in mind, whether you're on a lake or the river, is to have your life jackets, your personal flotation devices with you. And not only is it good common sense, but the law, if you're under 13 years, you must have them on you. You can't just have it in the canoe or boat with you. You have to have them on, which if you have them in the boat and you tip over, it's not going to do a little person very much good to have it not on. So be sure to have that on and fastened securely, zipped up, tied, whatever, so it's securely on them. That's probably the biggest thing to keep in mind. Otherwise, on the river, just common sense too. If the river's at flood stage, obviously don't go there. And when the river does get down where most people do like to get out and float, probably the biggest tip I would have would be stay away from brush piles. They're commonly referred to as strainers, and that's about what they act like. If you get against a brush pile, the water is going under that brush pile, and it can pretty easily suck your canoe or kayak right under that brush pile too. So just as you're approaching a brush pile, and there are plenty of those on the river, as you approach it, get to the opposite side of the river and steer clear of it to where you can navigate around that.
For those maybe inexperienced people that don't know what a brush pile looks like, can you give us some obvious signs?
They can be as simple as one log, one tree that's fallen in that's right at the surface of the water, to a big brush pile. Some of them nearly completely block the width of the river. Mm-hmm. Not many, but once in a while you'll get a big brush pile that you can just barely get around. So it's just a combination of one to several logs and trees that have piled up, usually on a bend where the current pushes them against the bank, and they all pile up there, and that's where they sit.
And that's our guest for today's Let's Talk Green County program, here with our Green County Conservation Director, Dan Towers, joining us here for our first part of our two-part series. Community State Bank of Payton is an independent, locally owned bank in business since 1956. Back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.